Hello and welcome to Ascension Day, a Warhammer 40,000 Gene Sealer Cult podcast. I have with me a very, very special guest, and it is Mr. Nick Nanavati. Nick, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Gabe. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I'm talking about my favorite four-armed friends. I'm spreading the good word of the many-armed emperor, and I'm happy to be doing it with you, Nick.
Dude, I'm so excited. This is like one of my favorite topics. I love me some forearm friends. And like the uprising is growing strong. GSC are on the rise right now.
It is. I actually just recently posted a little Reddit post on the Warhammer competitive subreddit, just kind of like talking about GSC. And so many people have actually been going into my DMs more than any bo ever before about, oh yeah, I just want to know more about GSC. I want to know about the list. So it's really cool to see, this faction that it's just been so turbulent in 10th edition really start to get their feet under them. So I'm really happy to talk about this. Real quick, I mean, everyone should know all about you, Mr. Nick. But I want to just kind of like talk about real quick, like what you're doing with Art of War. Specifically, what are you doing like playing GSC more now? I mean, versus Sisters or any of the other armies you play. Like how is that process of like kind of selling them on GSC?
Well, it's a bit easier than you'd think. I kind of just play what I want, and it usually works out okay. So I don't have to sell too hard with it. So my team is awesome in that sense. But I personally, I've been playing Sisters like all year, and getting ready for WTC was a big focus point of my year, and that happened in August. So like all summer and like leading up to that, I was just grinding Sisters match after Sisters match after Sisters match. I played against Thousand Sons like six times in preparation for that tournament. And
Oof.
then WTC ended, and I was like, man, I don't have to do this anymore. And not that I don't love my sisters, and they're incredibly good right now, but you just, there's a lot of armies, a lot of things to do in Warhammer. And I love my GSC. They're one of my favorite armies also. And when I got that codex in like June, whenever it happened, myself, much like many of our forum friend fanatics, was like brutally disappointed. Like a lot of our tools and tricks and things that we leaned on in the index days just didn't really exist. And then they were replaced by a very disappointing Benefictus new model, like some really sad detachments that didn't do that much. Our stats got worse, like Aberrants got worse, things like that. And it was just like really lackluster. We lost so much. But after that grieving period of a few months, I basically decided, hey, Inez and Eric have been doing really well with their GSC lists. Maybe there's more to it than I initially had thought. I also was eagerly looking for a change of pace. And for DreamHack, in particular, it felt like a good event for me to try it out, because like the best way to get better at Warhammer, or one of the greatest ways, is to just go out there and play some games, like real world experience. And like to do it in the comfort of a team tournament where I can like coddle myself a little bit in pairings to avoid real problems. It's kind of like low stakes. It's not like low stakes, but it's not only on you to perform like in a singles tournament. So I figured it'd be a great time to try him out. And I had such a blast, let me tell you. It was amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, as someone who took GSC to Nova, I wish there was a couple pairings that I could have not did. But yeah, that's awesome that you're able to just like get right into GSC. And having the team backing you up, supporting you throughout the pairings process and everything. And we'll kind of get into a little bit of that a bit later. But today we're going to be really diving into Host of Ascension, which is what you took, which is super awesome to see. I took that's the detachment that I ended up taking to Nova as well. And so I was really excited to see that you had committed to that, especially after like Innes and Eric have been just riding Outlander Claw, and a lot of people have been kind of more skewing to that detachment. It was cool to see Host of Ascension doing very well, which you went 5-0 DreamHack, which is awesome against some really, really incredible teams. So I think that's really cool to see the
Yeah, it was
performance you were
awesome.
able to.
Thank you. And the choice of Host of Ascension was kind of not to Snowflake or anything. I really thought it was solving the problems that I encountered. So to kind of get into it a little bit, I hadn't touched GSC for months, basically since the Codex came out to WTC, and I was looking for an army to play, like I was just explaining. And my starting point was like, all right, Innes has a list that I watched him play at Champions Cup in a team environment, and I like made special note of his performance that weekend because I was super interested in GSC. So I was like, what matchups is he getting? How is he playing those matchups? Innes and I are close. So I like asked him a few questions, like in the event. We got the pleasure of playing against Stat Check that weekend. So I was coaching for Team XPZ Purple Cobras, a little bit of a departure from my usual gig, but it was fun. And in the round that I got, I was coaching my guys to play against Stat Check. Like I got Jason, our Tau player, great Tau player, really strong player, into Innes and his GSC. So I was really watching it because I was like, this is a screwed match. Like how can GSC handle Tau on their table choice? This is not real. So to watch Innes pull an eight was pretty exciting and pretty impressive. And then I was like, all right, I'm just gonna give this a try. So I played a game on stream for Art of War with my GSC, which was like almost copy paste of Innes list. I made like one change because I like pierce strains over whatever I dropped for him, whatever. And the really cool thing was I won. You know, I had really bad expectations. Like, you know, don't get your hopes up. GSC are not easy to play. They're not intuitive. It's a very challenging army sometimes. But in reality, I did really well, and it kind of felt like putting on a glove. You know, like when you ride a bike, you don't forget how. It was like crazy to me how intuitive it was for me, because it was such a departure from even the variations of GSC that I'd played in the Index days and in prior editions with Aberrant and whatnot. So it was all just really cool to see how it all came together. And then I was like, all right, this was 2 days before the submission for DreamHack, for context, that I played this game. So I was like, man, I really need to play more games if I'm going to be serious about taking them to a tournament. And just for more context on why my team was so cool with it, the alternative was, and the original plan was, I was going to play Sisters and Quentin was going to play Eldar. And nobody was really excited about Eldar, but Quentin only plays so many factions. But Quentin is also playing Sisters. So it was
Yeah, I've
very
been seeing
much,
that in the war room.
So he's been rocking it with Sisters and doing exceptionally well. So it was very much like, well, Quentin can take Sisters, and you know, it doesn't matter who is playing Sisters, more or less. And then instead of Eldar, I'll take GSC. And if we're not excited about Eldar and we're not excited about GSC, only I am, it's not, it's it doesn't matter in terms of team comp, right? And GSC, I was viewing as this army that was gonna try to use tools and jankiness to outplay people and keep games close where they shouldn't be close, kind of blunt offensive armies. And I view Eldar in a very similar role. So it was like kind of similar in terms of teams comps, so Eldar GSC, and it worked out nicely. So that was definitely part of the decision. Then from there, it basically, I got two more practice games, and I played against Russell and his Chaos Space Marines, and I lost that game, but it was like a 10-10 loss, so it was more just experience gaining. And then I got back blown out by Sisters when Quentin was playing Sisters. I was like, man, okay, that's a hard match. Understandably so, it's Sisters. So basically, I looked at my list and I really got into the weeds of what has been causing me problems and headaches and those things. And it was always my lack of damage. Like the core of the list was great. You know, I liked three Rock Grinders. I even went up to six Ridge Runners. I liked MSU Acolytes with Hand Flamers. I liked Neophytes in trucks to just show up and, you know, OC dump things and make objectives sticky. And it all kind of added up. The damage was really cool. It played very fun, but it just didn't have enough damage, was what I found. So it all came down to how can I essentially increase the damage output without compromising the core components to the list that I did like. And it really took some self-evaluation in terms of like the list and critically evaluating it. So from Innes' list, which was this Outlander Claw, with like triple Kalamor for Ductus Saboteur. He had two Goliath trucks with Neophytes. He had 6 units of 5 Acolytes with Flamers, 1 unit of 5 Acolytes with Saws, 2x5 bikes, 5 Ridge Runners, and 3 Grinders. I really changed it into something that was more my style. And I really recognized that the Kalamors and the Reductus Saboteurs, despite how awesome those in lone op, cheap, damage dealing, mortal wound dealing, reactive moving data sheets are, they were roughly the same cost as everything else in my army. Like a Kalamor for 60 or just Saboteur 65, 10 Neophytes is 70, 5 Acolytes is 75. So it's pretty comparable. And like they don't do necessarily more than 5 or 10 dudes. Like they both do like a token amount of damage. Like if we think about a Kalamor for 6 strain, 6 shots is cool, but then one misses and then 2 fail to wound and then a couple infantry die or like a tank takes a damage. And like 5 Acolytes with reroll wounds on hand flamers is basically the same thing if only, you know, better into like certain infantry targets. And then, okay, the Kalamorph's a lone up, but like whatever. Do I need action monkeys? Do I care about not getting shot when I'm exposing my army all over the place? Does it really matter? And then the character gives up assassinate, and it's not OC-10 or OC-20. So like there are drawbacks. It doesn't come back to life either. So I actually opted for more stuff. And that doesn't really help my damage issue. It's just where points can come from. So if I dropped all my Kalamorphs and Reductus Saboteurs, like that's 240 points of things I can take. But then you look at it and it's like, all right, I've maxed Rock Grinders. I've maxed Acolytes. I maxed Ridge Runners. You know, like now I can't take more damage. I could go Metamorphs and Aberrants, but that's a different direction than like a Biosanctic style army. I mean, I just didn't want to restart the whole thing in that direction. So it's like, where does my damage come from? And I was just opening the codex candidly. And this is something I recommend everybody does at all levels of their gameplay is really, if you haven't read your codex top to bottom in a while, just open it up and do it. You don't know what you're going to miss. You don't know how the context of many, many, many more practice games changes your perspective on things. And then maybe you find a diamond in the rough. So I basically saw Primus with a chink in their armor and 20 neophytes with all the fixings, rerolling hits, sustained hits, ignores cover, lethal hits, crit fives. And I was like, this is a ludicrous amount of damage. And like, you can run the math. Like, this thing will kill Magnus. This thing will kill an entire Accursed Cultus brick. This thing will kill a light tank. The only thing it doesn't do is Armor of Contempt 2 upcut saves. Like, that's the only profile this thing suffers from. And it's teams. So I can just not play that. Or even still, I can play that and just, instead of trying to kill it, outmission the rest of it, because those armies typically don't have that many units. Yeah. But that, you know, that's a little sideways. So, okay, if I switch detachments, I lose 4 upinvils on Ridge Runners, I lose reactive moves on Ridge Runners and bikes, I lose sticky objectives on bikes, and I lose like 30 OC. How much does that matter? Because that's the only parts of that detachment I was using. There are other rules in the Outlander Claw, but none of that mattered to me. So OC on bikes, vehicles, whatever. Like, sure, it changes breakpoints, Rock Grinders, OC6. Like, that is good stuff. But let's also consider that the list at a core level has like 180 OC if you just take like 9 battle line units and a bunch of tanks. And the parts I dropped, Kalamorphs and Saboteurs, didn't help the OC count. That's not what they were there for. But I can add stuff that has OC and then keep that OC level similar. By not doubling the count on the bikes and the tanks and taking Kalamors, instead I just take more infantry. So OC count, that's fine. And also the difference between 180 OC and 200 OC is super negligible. You have OC. So then sticky objectives. All right, well, I have neophytes. They sticky objectives. How much do I actually use sticky the midfield objectives? I didn't use it that much. It was nice. Like, it's not, it's useless. But people, when they beat GSC, do it by like tabling my ass, like disrespecting me and killing me. And if they're doing that, then they're getting on the midfield objectives. And I'm not encouraging them to do it because it's sticky. You know, I get to counter you. Like, I just don't want you to do that. I don't want you to disrespect me. So sticky was, I'm not going to say it's bad, but it was not that great. And then 4 invuls on the tanks. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to miss that, but maybe I can live without it, you know, by playing the angles tighter and in teams, not playing against like Tau on open table or something. Maybe I can just choose to not have to have 4 upinvils, or maybe I can outplay. I think having now played my army more and more, I don't even care about the 4 upinvils on Ridge Runners and bikes. And then Reactimove. Sure, reactimoves are good. There's no way around that. But okay, that's what I'm giving up. What am I gaining? I'm gaining this 20-man bomb, which kills virtually any problem I can theorize 3-inch mm-hmm. away. So it's like, all right, I had a damage issue. I didn't have an OC issue. I didn't have a sticky objective issue. I didn't have any of those issues. I had a damage issue. And now I've really worked towards solving that. And then I gain, aside from that, 3-inch deep strike as a strat, which is amazing because sometimes people mm-hmm. do have screens and you can't mm-hmm. get to those hard to reach places and you can't apply your damage because it's like direct line of sight shooting. So now I have 3-inch away deep strike, which means I do just score secondaries. Draw a card, score a card is super real. And showing them 3 inches away just lets me bomb something. And I found through the course of this tournament, I actually had played zero practice games with Hosa's Ascension. This was all 3 games of practice with Outlearn Declaw and then Theory. And then we pressed the submit button. I talked to Jack and Q about it. And we used my teammates and we kind of worked out. Yeah, okay, Nick, like, let's do it. I was like, am I crazy here for dropping Kellermorphs? And they really, their first gut was yes, but they trust me. They listened to the logic. They got behind it. They gave me some assurance in my decision makings. So we went for it. And my God, Host of Ascension was awesome. I loved my list. This is one of the best lists I played all through 10th edition, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I and to if it helps your warm and fuzzies, you know, I mean, obviously after the fact now, but in my current competition list, I don't have any lone ops like Kellermorphs or Sanctuses or anything because like what you said, like, or I could just, you know, eat a few more points and then have another unit of Acolytes with Hand Flamers who do the same thing but better. So I kind of get behind that sentiment as well. No, that's really awesome. Like I like the approach of like starting with something that you know. And then, okay, how does this fix the problems that I have? And then chipping away at like, okay, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. I do need this. I do need this. I do need this. And then now it's like, okay, and now I'm arriving at a new detachment. So I guess throughout that process, was it kind of hard to make the departure from Outlander Claw to Host of Ascension? Like, did you have like in your head where you're like, oh, I'm fucking this up, like I need to kind of just like stick with what's doing well? Or was it like, oh, I see crit on fives, I see 3-inch deep strike, you know, I see chink in the armor, and I know that this is like a good decision?
It wasn't obvious, but it wasn't that difficult. Let me elaborate mm-hmm. on that. So like I said, it was more through experience that I made that call rather than like knee jerkiness in either direction. So I started with the Outlander list more or less, and it has a lot of intuitive things, right? Like, okay, I have 11 vehicles. They all have double OC. I have these data sheets. My strats work on these data sheets. So like in that sense, it's very, makes a lot of sense. But when after playing exactly 3 games, which is not a huge sample size, and I'm not trying to knock the Outlander Claw army, I think it does things differently and is still good. I just found that the problem that I had with it in all of the games wasn't even that I didn't have enough damage. It's that my damage stopped working after like turn 3. Like I had a really good turn 2, turn 3, and then my stuff is like engaged, it's dying, it's not coming back at the rates I want, and I just couldn't get over the curve, if you will. Like I was riding up the roller coaster and I couldn't get down. I got stuck at the top where I just needed a little more damage to break through. So I was looking for that. And like I said, I was out of data sheets to take. The Outlander Claw buffs exactly 3 data sheets. So that's a GSC problem. You know, our codex is 15 characters and 5 other units. So like, how much can you do with that? But in the quest for finding the solution, the problem being damage, what is the solution to lack of damage or getting over that hump with the damage is just like, you know, I looked at Biosanctic and I thought about, okay, I could take 3 abominants and I could resurrect them and they explode 6 times throughout the game. That's a lot of mortal wounds. That's damage. And the abominant hits people. So there was a lot of different ways I was exploring damage. And I just found that not only did Host of Ascension give me that burst of damage that actually got it done that my opponent can't really play around, because 3-inch away deep striking guns is not like, let me get the aberrant to explode. It's like, no, this is just here. So like that was really attractive to me. It's like, okay, these people can't just play around it. And then 3-inch deep strike. Like that, I love 3-inch deep strike. It's such a good, so good rule. It's so good. So like those two things really sold me. And you know, really thinking about what am I getting uniquely from Outlander Claw? It's the double OC, it's the sticky objectives, whatever, whatever. And like rationally, I looked at all of my games and I was like, okay, I know this intuitively is stuff that buffs the stuff that I'm taking, but is it necessary? Is it better than not having these tools that I just don't have? And ultimately I came to the conclusion of no. And here we are.
No, I think that makes, I think that makes perfect sense. And I think that's something that, like when you have the experience that you have, like, I know for me, like there were times where it was like very hard for me to like put down a list or a concept. You know, I mean, it's the whole idea of like trying to like convince yourself that like, no, this is the right decision to make. So I think that being able to just be like, identify weaknesses and plug those weaknesses with pieces of the book is so huge, especially in a faction like GSC that's, you know, underrepresented. We don't have, I mean, now we are starting to get a lot more like brains back in the tank, but before there was hardly anyone playing the faction. So I think being able to like identify, you know, those weaknesses and fix them, I think is really cool. And especially with like switching to, you know, entirely different detachment, which actually kind of brings me to let's kind of go over your list that you took to DreamHack and maybe pick that apart.
Yeah. So top to bottom, we got a Primus with the chink in their armor. That's our only character. He's the Warlord. He's going to join 20 neophytes, and they have the usual neophyte like gaggle of weapons, but I went for two heavy stubbers, not mining lasers, two seismic cannons, two Webers, and two grenade launchers. So the whole plan there is Primus gives reroll hits, Deep Strike gives sustained hits, ignores cover, Chink of the Armor gives lethal hits, Strat gives crit fives. And at that point, you have a 55% lethal sustain rate if you just go fishing. So you have, with stubbers, not mining lasers, 36 junk shots, like 36 one damage whatevers, against units, not vehicles. The grenade launchers are D3 shots blast each. So I played against a Cursed Cultist twice, and it was like, okay, each of those is an average of six shots per gun, because it's blast times four. So now I'm up to 48 shots against these Accursed Cultist units. Now that's specific, but sometimes they fire the solid shot into a space marine and get two a hit and a wound. You know, it's nice. 55% of the time you do roll a five. So out of your 48 shots, if you're just going to go for maximum shot count, AP1 from a Ridge Runner ignores cover from your thing. 55% wound rate. So that's like 27, 28, 26, something like that. Wounds and sustains, and you're probably hitting on fours with most of that. So you've got about 34 hits and 26, 27 wounds, because your fours will also hit. And then you roll that. Let's say you're running on sixes. Okay, so now, you know, if you're 34 hits, you get five sixes through. God forbid you're running on fours or fives, but let's say you get five sixes through. And you add that to your 26 hits or 26 wounds from lethal. Now you're up to 31 saves, 32 saves, something like that. If they're AP1 on a 2-up save, ignores cover, 3-ups, that's 10 damage into like a Magnus. Throw a grenade, that's 15 damage into Magnus. I haven't fired my Webers, which is probably good for one more mortal. That's 16 damage into Magnus. Haven't fired my seismic cannons. 8 shots, usually 5, maybe 4 hits and wounds. Those wound on fives, not sixes. You should get one, maybe two more. Give them five or six saves. And then they fail one or two. And those are D3 each. That's a Primarch. That's a Land Raider without an Armor of Contempt. That's anything in the game basically dies to your garbage shooting, which is tremendously powerful. And this army, because you could always roll bad, they could roll good, dice or dice. But when you're rolling 50 dice, it's not as easy to roll badly. It averages out better. But you know, you have no problem picking up the spare damage. Like, okay, Magnus lived on three, whatever. I've got 85 million other shots in this army and tank shock. You know, like, you are going to go down.
Twin linked hand flamers. Yeah, just every dude has a grenade. Like you'll find the damage somewhere.
I basically don't really care what your toughness is with this army, which is a crazy thing to say, but it's also incredibly powerful because all strength three shooting, strength four shooting. Like the Ridge Runners, all twin linked on their stubbers. The flamers in my army, all twin linked. The Neophytes getting out of trucks, twin linked. The Neophytes deep striking, crit sus lethal fives. Like I barely acknowledge the wound rule as a checkpoint in the damage calculation, which is new for me. That's definitely not how I usually play Warhammer, but it's awesome. Like, oh my God. I got distracted. To finish off the list, we've got five Acolytes with the auto pistols, and they just sit on my home field and try to farm CP for me. Because this is also like a draw scorecard kind of army, which means you're not tossing cards for CP. You have to get it the other way. Five units of five Acolytes with hand flamers. If I could afford six, I'd take six, but these are just great. Two units of 10 Neophytes. And these ones I did go for mind lasers. It doesn't matter. Those ones just suck. And then those go into two trucks. And those are just trucks. Got six Ridge Runners, 3x2. They all have mining lasers. I didn't go for the mortar indirect package. I just wanted more damage, like I said, and this was part of that plan. I didn't regret that at all. Big happy with all mining lasers. And one of them I gave a survey auger, which granted ignore cover sometimes. This was fine. This was aggressively fine. I didn't play against the armies where it would have been mandatory. And then three rock grinders. I went with the heavy flamers on them, the clearance incinerators, which I was really back and forth side grade on between that and the mining laser. But I am so happy I stuck with my gut and went with a clearance incinerator. They do just get themselves into combats and want to just do chip damage and things like that. And then the mind laser is so unreliable and it's blast, so it doesn't synergize with getting into combat. It's kind of anti-synergy and hard. And then also, when you get the matchups, like I played against the Cursed Occultist twice and Admech once. In those matchups, just driving around with a Goliath Rock Grinder with a clearance incinerator, then five hand flamers inside, you're just roasting and toasting these infantry and they can't do anything about it. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Five pure strains and five jackals, and that's the list.
And the jackals, was that just more so for another source of mortals plus like guys who do things?
Yeah, I'm a toolbox player at heart. I love maximum options. Having a few more mortals, having a grenade on turn one, like wherever I want, like being able to just like dump five into a tank can be kind of nice. They were a move block. They were definitely an aggressive move block in a lot of games. I pretty much always lost them in the first and second turn. Just like go out there, scout, move block. And that was honestly a job that I undervalued. I love move blocking, but I took it just for like the option to be able to do it. I did it almost every game and it was almost always awesome.
Yeah. And flamer on the wolf quad, or do you take
I took the flamer. I don't even. I shot it like once all tournament. It doesn't even matter.
So that is such an interest. Like holistically, that is a very interesting host of Ascension list. Like, was there any thoughts of going like more Neophytes with like a Benefictus? Or a Primus support, or was it just like the only Neophytes that are going to be worth their salt is just the Primus chink in their armor Neophyte brick?
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to where the list came from, as opposed to starting from scratch. And I usually start lists from scratch, so this was a very interesting departure for me in terms of my style for list building. But it came from an already existing Outlander clock list as the shell. And that list had a small damage problem, not a massive damage problem. And I fixed the small damage problem by basically going from four Mining Laser Ridge Runners to six, and by going from no Neophyte Bomb to a crazy Neophyte Bomb. And that was good enough for me. So, like, it did cross my mind, like, I could take 2x10 hand flamer dudes and, like, plus one to wound them both, and now I'm rerolling a wound, plus one to wound, and aha, I'll kill whatever I want with that. And then the Benefictus Neophytes, you know, I considered combat units that try to use rapid ingress to then sustain hits. All of that costs points, like fundamentally. And what I've found with GSC is that you don't need to cost points. You don't want to cost points. Having your average unit cost be less than 100 is beautiful because they also come back to life. And you're twice as sad when they don't come back to life. It's less likely for you to use them carelessly. And I don't want to say carelessly as though it was like thoughtless. But I didn't care what happened to five Acolytes with Flamers. I didn't care what happened to 10 Neophytes. You know, they did the job, and goodbye. And those jobs were so easy to find because it was like, add chip damage to this unit I'm shooting at this turn. Stand on that objective. Do this action. Move block this guy. And maybe do all three at once. Throw a grenade. A 10-man does those same exact jobs, just cost twice as much more. The only time a 10-man actively helps you in any way, or a 20-man in Neophyte's case with a character attached, is if you need all of that extra damage plus strat support to get over a hump. And that's not how this army plays. This army isn't interested in like, here's my one unit, I kill your one unit. The only thing that is a useful tool, because if all of your damage is death by 1,000 cuts from across all these different army attacks, you know, sometimes that can be problematic. So I like having the one big instance of huge damage. And then aside from that, it's literally just like, I throw attacks at you until you fall over, the style. And in that sense, I don't need to have a larger, more expensive unit that has a character that doesn't come back to life and makes my unit cost 300. I like having four units that cost 75 instead of one unit that's like 140 plus 80 for a character.
And that, and I think like going that style, like recently I've been playing Xenocreed, which really encourages, you know, a lot of MSU, a lot of just throwing shit at the wall. And it is more successful to just have cheaper throwaway units. And I think that is what a lot of people, including myself, was having a problem with when the index shifted to the Codex. Was like, we went from I have five bricks that kill like God and everything in between, to like, now I'm fighting like these little tiny little battles all around the board, but I'm doing it a little bit better than they are in every instance. So it's like having that, I almost want to call it like decentralization of power. You know what I mean?
Right. There's no unit you can kill that I'm like, man, I lost that unit, my game's over. There's no like checkmate you can put me in unless you table me. Like you, it's, my army is just 2,000 points of like good at what it's supposed to do. It can do most things, and it finds a very efficient way to do every job because of how cheap all my stuff is and how it comes back to life and stuff. And even things like Overwatch is like theoretically a huge problem for Gene Stealer Cult because it's also so fragile but so deadly. And you like 3-inch away like 10 acolytes with the bombs, and then you get overwatched and like now it's like about 4 acolytes and it doesn't do that much. And instead of that, you overwatch one squad, like in the early turns, 50-50, it comes back, 1/3, it comes back, whatever. If you literally comes back and then deep strikes right after, you have actually just threw a CP into the dirt. And then even if you kill 75 points or whatever, I just don't care. And it actually frees up the rest of my movement because now I don't have to think about it. So I'll like actively give my opponent good overwatches, not like bait overwatches, but like a real overwatch you probably want to make use of. And then if they do, I just get to move the rest of my army as however I want. If I don't, like, fine, I get to move the rest of my army until the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And if I get to move all of my units, because you're saving your overwatch for my 20-man unit coming in so it doesn't just like murder you, okay, I'll just go somewhere else. You know, it's really just, I have all of the agency with this army.
Oh yeah. Like, these five acolytes will murder fuck those rubrics. If you overwatch, I mean, you know, you have to overwatch them. Okay. You overwatch them. Well, here's five more acolytes, and the ones you killed are, going to be around for the rest of the game. So sorry, dude.
Yeah. But it's never also like five acolytes going to kill five rubrics. They won't, but like five acolytes will kill like 1.5 rubrics, throw a grenade, and now we're at 3 rubrics to get a second squad. And there, now we're at the rubric squad's gone. And that's still 2 units of acolytes. One probably comes back to life at that point, and your rubrics don't come back. You're just down resources.
Yeah. So going from sisters, which seems to have a pretty like straightforward, like, I'm not going to say like a click, you know, across the board type play style, but you know, more or less like I'm going to kill you, to a much more control and tempo styled list, such as the one that you have now. Was that a big departure, or Do you think that like having those all those years of playing GSC made that a pretty easy kind of like fit? I know you earlier said it was like putting on a glove, so I imagine it wasn't too crazy for you, right?
Yeah, it was actually shockingly easy, I will say. I played years of GSC. I played more years of Warhammer. I've played almost every army you can think of in every style. And like some armies don't jive with me. Like I'm a terrible orc player, I'll be honest with you. But with GSC, like, you know, I know my stuff has no damage output. I know my stuff is made of nothing. And I know I have to think about the game just fundamentally differently than I do if I'm playing Space Marines or Sisters or something like that. So for me, I just like make that choice in my mind, and I can generally do it. So that's just like an experience thing, I would say.
Gotcha. So obviously, going through your games, I mean, you're a 5-0. So nothing that was too hard for you to overcome. But was there what were your red matchups like with your host list?
It's funny you say that, because like I don't really know, and I told this about my team very candidly. I was like, guys, I can't accurately make a matrix like I do most of the time. Like I can think about it, and I can theorize the matches, and I can identify what I think are problems and think of solutions. But you know, it's going to be a little bit guess and check, and you can watch in real time as my matrix got more and more confident throughout the weekend. I just like kept updating, like, yeah, I could win that one. I can win this one. This is fine. Whatever. And that was really awesome to see, because I really thought I would walk into this weekend being big sad about my GSC army and how bad it was and how I had no play, like to do anything. And I was just trying to use the fact that I was like better than my opponent to try to scrounge for a 10 when I really should lose. That wasn't the case at all. I was massacring people. We went 5-0. It was more a question of how much can I win by, which is a great place to be in a team tournament. In terms of what I think are still bad matchups, having now played it, I still don't trust my like Dreadknight game. Like, if you put six Dreadknights in front of me, they got Armor of Contempt, which shuts down my Neophyte brick a little bit. They have great Overwatches, which isn't helpful. All of their guns can rip apart my vehicles. I think what really is the transitional point here is like a lot of people don't realize is that the front of my list and the obvious part to my list is like, there are all of these pocket sand units that just do whatever they need to do in any given moment, right? Like I have actions whenever I need to, and I have damage that adds up subtly across the army. What people don't talk about is after turn three, after we've traded all my acolytes and all my neophytes, and I've done critical damage to your army and stuff, now I have 11 vehicles. And that's a really powerful end game. Like, when you're down to the dregs of your army and I show up with the dregs of mine, here's three rock grinders, here's six rich runners, the game's over. You know, that's now I run away with it. So that's been the most effective part for me. Basically, like thinking about how I can trade with the army. How does my army deal damage to them? Can I deal damage to them? Can they stop me from scoring? You know, that's not easy to do. That's super hard to do. But can they? And then can they rip my vehicles up to the point where my end game plan of I have vehicles and you can't deal with it, does that fall apart? So something like a Hypercryptalis with like three Doomsday Arcs, I could see being relatively problematic because of that. But this is all theoretical. I have mostly just played against Accursed Cultists, Admech, Demons, and Knights. Those were my five matchups. I played against Accursed Cultists twice, and I won all of them, and all of them felt pretty winnable. Admech was the sketchiest. I did win that one, but I think that's more of a drawing match if they play it tight. But yeah, I think it's really just like, can you kill my vehicles really effectively and without me being able to do much about it? So I'm still afraid of Triple Riptide. I don't trust my Doomsday Arc Hypercrypt Monolith match with the Silent King, something like that. Dreadknights, I think, are scary. But even things like Armor of Contempt armies, like Deathwing Knights, right? I'll kill your jump pack intercessors. I'll kill your scouts. That's going to be dead in the first two turns. And once that's dead and you're down to three Deathwing Knight squads, which is going to be my goal for the game, you are never going to outscore me. It's impossible. So I just don't think that's a bad match.
And kind of like going into like the vehicles being the last, did you ever, and this isn't necessarily just in Host of Ascension kind of like question, but like I know that when the Codex came out, there was a lot of issues people had with the new Rock Grinder rules being the you have to take a Desperate Escape it whenever you want to fall back if you're not a monster or vehicle. How much was that being respected by your opponents? Like, how much did that like matter into like your game state and how the games went overall?
You want to know the honest truth to that question, Gabe?
What
I
is it?
forgot that that was a rule. I played all five rounds of the
Oh,
tournament without using it a single time. I literally, day I got back was yesterday. I interviewed
no.
Innes for on his GSC for the Art of War podcast. Like, we had that scheduled since Champs Cup, and it finally happened. And I loved it because I now had like experience on GSC, and I could like hold my own in that conversation. And he's talking about his list and his tactics and this and that and whatever. And he's like, and then when people desperate escape from the rock grinder, they just die. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh no.
Literally. So all of these games, asterisk, I do better.
Well, I mean, that's something that could affect your matrix a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. I mean, I can't tell you how many people fell back from me. I was just bumping into people for the sake of it. Oh my God.
I mean, it's melee is still not bad, you know.
No, it's melee adds up. It's a perfect kind of melee for this list. It can punch vehicles and armor saves and like actually hurt a tough thing. It kills like Space Marine bodies efficiently, which like shotguns and stubbers and all that do, but not if not like. You know, a rock grinder dies, I could reasonably kill an intercessor squad, or at least it kill enough of it that it's kind of irrelevant. Whereas, like, you know, I shoot a neophyte squad at five intercessors, nothing's gonna happen. So, you really, it's kind of the right profile to complement what the army is looking for, and it synergizes so well in the everything is adds up approach, because it's like five intercessors, let's shoot five acolytes at the top, 5d6 hand flamers, let's shoot the clearance incinerator at them. Okay, two and a half are dead now. Now it's just like stubbers off the ridge runners who are mining lasering a tank. Okay, stubbers killed another guy, made all those acolytes AP one. So I killed like a fourth guy, charge in there, kill the fifth guy. Like it's free. All that was free.
And I mean, demo caches, like they're not nearly as good as they used to be, but I mean, just the fact that you have like a source of blast of still relatively high strength that you know that the rock grinder could throw out is
I
pretty
honestly
huge.
didn't fire that much because I valued the wounds so highly on my vehicles. I played games in the beginning where I was just like launching them off like they were candy, and then I ended up taking an uncomfortable amount of damage. Like you fail a couple hazardous checks throughout the game, and then it's like, you know, my tank end game isn't so brutal if my tanks actually die. But if they walk into that end game with 10 wounds instead of 7, it is a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that makes sense. So you made your list for DreamHack. Now I'm not sure if your plan is to take GSC or host, or if you do take GSC, you know, taking Host of Ascension. What would be your plan? What would your list kind of like want to look like if you were to take it into a singles event?
I've
Any
been thinking.
huge changes?
Yeah, so I actually, up until like 2 days ago, I was planning on going to the US Tampa Open this weekend. Now Tampa might not exist, but hopefully it's not so bad. That event's gotten canceled, and I was so unsure about what to take. I was probably going to take my sisters because they're like my best army. But no, I'm going to play the crap out of this GSC army. I'm having so much more fun with it, and I think it's legitimately awesome. I wouldn't change it like at all. The only thing I'm considering changing is dropping a truck, but honestly, I liked it all. So with that in mind, I think we're kind of there. But in terms of a singles GSC list that's really successful, I could probably theorize problematic matchups, but I haven't played them. Maybe I can just like solve it by playing well, which I think is a real thing that an army like GSC allows you to do. Like you have so much control over the pace of the game, the tempo of the game, where the game takes place on the tabletop, especially with the 3-inch deep strike mechanics, you can really get in the nooks and crannies and stuff. So I think I can just like rip it as it is in a singles tournament. And you know, if I come into a matchup I can't handle, maybe we'll reevaluate. But right now, I'm really loving where the Codex is at, ironically, because I was so anti-GSC and I still have my gripes with it. I really wish they had more than five data sheets, and it wasn't all 25 characters, most of which suck. You know, not my favorite design for a codex, but competitively, I do think it's actually good.
Absolutely. Oh, I was on the verge of tears when they were doing their big GSC announcement, and it was the fucking Benefictus. I'm like, another
Dude, I know. I know. Another
character,
character. And then he didn't, and then he's 80
please.
points. Then he's 80 points. Like, what are we
He's
doing?
80 points. He doesn't give a four pin vol to the unit. He just gives it to himself. I'm like, fucking GW, what are we doing right now, man? But anyway, I kind of want to like hop back on something that you said. GSC, like as a whole, and this is something that, like, talking to like guys within my own group or buddies of mine, or just talking about GSC Occult is, like I'll play Knights or I'll play like AdMech or whatever. Those are kind of like my side hustle, like armies. When I don't want to be particularly supportive of the Forearmed Emperor. And it's like I can go in there with a decent game plan of like, okay, I'm going to move this guy here, that guy there, that guy there, and that's just going to be my game plan. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But with GSC, it's like so much of it is nebulous. So much of it is like, I'm gonna, was it be like water? You know what I mean? Of like, be very open to the state of the board and be reactive to the state of the board. Do you kind of
Right.
feel that with GSC? Of
Oh
like, you
yeah,
can't
I love
be
that.
super rigid, right?
I love that. I'm a reactive defensive player that like waits for my opponents to make a mistake and then crush it super hard. And GSC totally enables you to have that play style. Like it thrives with that play style, which it works for me so well. I love it.
So if you had to like go with any other like archetype with Host of Ascension, like if it's like start from square one, like a non-vehicle heavy list, is there any other like any other kind of list archetype that you'd want to experiment with that detachment?
That's a good question. See, I don't really know, to be honest. I don't know how a non-vehicle heavy list for GSC operates because, like, to me, the Ridge Runners and the Rock Grinders are like the non-negotiable parts of my army. The Ridge Runners provide long-range anti-tank and actual shooting that people have to respect. Like that is a there's no other source of that in your codex. Maybe Brood Brothers lets you take guard, but that seems like strictly inferior. Like a Ridge Runner is actually a great tank. So to me, like you're taking six Ridge Runners, and like if you're taking six Ridge Runners, and I only have like I don't know five data sheets in my army, like I keep saying, it's like, do I want the deep striking guys that flame you, the deep striking guys that shoot shotguns at you, the deep striking guys that try to charge you, the other deep striking guys that try to charge you, aberrants or tanks, and like all of those have a place, but I think if I'm gonna go with melee, Xenocreed and Biosyntic really do it better. And Xenocreed or Biosyntic in particular is what really piques my interest there. And if I'm gonna go with dude spam, maybe it's Host of Ascension, but I did dude spam Host of Ascension all edition, essentially. So I'm enjoying the change of pace with the tanks, actually. If I was to do a different style of GSC list though, it would be Biosyntic, just because I think they have a lot of really cool rules there too.
And I know that Danny Porter just went on the 6++ show there because he was at LGT and he had a pretty good run with Brood Surge, going triple MSU aberrants with Abominant support, and he seemed to really enjoy that play style, which is awesome to see because I know that Brood Surge was one of the ones that a lot of people thought was a bit too shallow. As a detachment, it was just like, okay, run and punch, but all these other armies already do that, so why play GSC if you want to run punch? But having the ability to make a 5-inch charge out of deep strike, come to find out, good rule.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good when you think about it.
So I guess given that, are you gonna for the foreseeable future stick with your current like list archetype, or are you actually looking at throwing in like Brood Surge on the table and
I
giving
think I
that a
want to
shot?
play some Brood Surge. I want to give it a game at least, see how I like it. But I want to play this archetype into some of my problematic matchups and really see how it works.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of potential in GSC that has only now just started to getting explored by top players. And I think a large part of that is because of like WTC taking so much of our mental bandwidth, and you just don't have time to explore. You need to refine and master in that moment. So it was like a timing thing, right? GSC released right before then. But now's the time, you know, the plan has come.
Yeah. I mean, it was generations in the making, Nick. You got to give it some time sometimes. Yeah, so that brings up the question. Let's say WTC is now only 2 months away, you know, instead of like almost a year. Mm-hmm. Where do you think GSC has a play is worth bringing to the table, like even just talking about it?
I think if WTC was tomorrow, well, if the list submission was tomorrow, I'd put up a really, really big case for why we should take GSC. And I genuinely believe that. I think GSC right now is a great team army. I'm skeptical of how great it is in singles. It might be really good, but it's also might be a little bit too matchup dependent. And teams, super matchup of like, if there are theoretical problems, just don't pair into it. It's not like 50 armies are theoretically problematic. It's like two or three that I can think of. So like that's really fine. That's like what in an 8-man team, you can totally just dodge that. And then within its matchups, there's two factors that really make an army a good team army outside of like, how good is it? And it's one is like, how well can people play against it and understand it for the pairings process? Because like, if someone underestimates GSC or doesn't know what matchups are actually good or bad, and they guess or they use what they think is right and they're wrong, when someone's wrong in a team tournament, that's what costs rounds. That's what wins rounds right there. Like, you know, I marked this as a 15. Nick gave me a 4. You know, now we're getting annihilated. That's the what is this do factor is actually very relevant in teams. And then beyond that, the way the army plays can actually break stalemates and go into the high scores of differential, which is not something most armies can actually do effectively. You can always do it if your opponent messes up, but if two great players go at it and they're trying to like game theory the smallest loss they can manage, because you don't want to get blown out in teams. What ultimately happens a lot of the time is that players stare at each other from 20 inches away behind walls, collecting tens and like throwing out trash for secondaries. And nobody is willing to be the first person to commit. And in singles, you might want to commit to try to win, and then you might get blown out. You might win the game, but you're willing to take that risk. And teams like, no, I'll lose slowly. It's okay. I'll get a 9. It'll be fine. GSC doesn't play like that. GSC is like, oh, we're in a stalemate. I'm bored with that stalemate. I'm going to throw trash at you more. I'm going to get into your side with my host of Ascension 3-inch Deep Strike. I'm actually going to break the stalemate. And in doing so, you really open up the door in a way that a lot of armies can't to get a huge score and actually win the round for your team.
And absolutely, 100%. And I think that kind of segues into another point of discussion, is the army rule, right? Is the something I've noticed, you know, playing GSC in 10th edition, is the method of our recursion, like, just fucks up so much internal calculus, especially once you start playing against really, like, really top players. You know, I mean, like, whenever I was taking it to Nova, they were like, I can commit this to you and you could just get it all back. And I was playing Host of Ascension. I was even playing Xenocrete at the time, where they have the ability to reroll the Cult Ambush dice. And I was like, yeah, I could. I could just have 30. You could just be playing against 3,000 points of GSC. How much was that apparent in your games? Like, how much like did having the army rule, like being able to hang that over opponent's head, how much did that matter, would you say?
I don't know that hanging over my opponent's head mattered. Just like, I would actually get stuff back, and that's part of why I don't want these big bricks with like more neophyte bombs and more acolyte bombs with the characters. I want as many rolls as I can take on it. And in doing so, by having as many rolls, like, you kind of average out to, like, stuff does come back. Like, in the first battle round, I lose my bikes. Or the first two battle rounds, I lose my bikes, my Steelers, two battle line squads. We'll say that much is, like, a very consistent ratio of losing stuff. Yeah. And of that, and the first two of them will come back. So then I have 7 Battleline units still, plus 2 more that resurrected. And if all 9 of those die in the next 3 battle rounds, 3 of them come back. That's just math. So I'm playing with 5 extra units, and my list already has 11 cheap little infantry units, not even counting the 20 man. So now I have 16 cheap little infantry units. I don't think of it like that. I'm not like, I'm trying to die so I can come back. Like, that's what I do with like one dude that's left with no purpose in life. But in general, it's like, let me just use a unit for a job. Let me use a unit for a job. And in when you're playing normal 40K, you trade. And when you lose a unit, you don't have it anymore. When you play GSC, you get it back sometimes. But if you get enough units back, you actually just have more points than your opponent. And because they deep strike, you can leverage them into more actual points. And like one of the other challenges I found with Outlander Claw on most GSC lists is like if your opponent does have ample trash themselves, they can screen for all 5 turns. So if you come back on like turns 3, 4, 5, but you have nowhere to go besides your own half the field, it's not that useful. But with 3-inch away, you can really do stuff. Now, you can't 3-inch away stuff that comes back because that's like a technical rule thing, but you can 3-inch away early stuff and then use that to clear screens for your later stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, having the ability for the units to stay in Colt Ambush, you know what I mean, since they start on the table, that is super beneficial as well. Because now all of a sudden when it's, you know, turn 5 and everyone's on the last dregs of their, you know, of their army, it's like, well, I have 3 units of Acolytes just chilling, you know. Now all of a sudden I am able to do, you know, engage on all fronts, or I am able to do, you know, Storm. Where I shouldn't, you know, have been able to if I was playing, you know, quote unquote normal faction. Cool. So I guess kind of starting to get to the end. Like, just what are your overall thoughts of GSC right now? Just like as a faction, you know, I kind of know like how you're feeling about Host of Ascension, but just like as a faction, like how do you feel about them?
I think they're really fun. I think they're really strong. I think they were severely underestimated, probably more so than I think I've ever seen any army underestimated. And there's also like a stealth buff in the sense that you used to go into the blip system, which was actually god awful for getting units back. Now you just deep strike. And that is, as we just talked about, a huge deal. So it wasn't just that we missed it all in the Codex release. Like they fundamentally changed stuff in a very subtle way. And that has led to a lot of resurgence and love for the GSC army, which just means it's going to get explored more and identified more as like a strong contender. But I think it really is. It really is a strong contender for a faction here. It's really fun to play. It's really hard to play because it is not like any other faction. And the way you do damage is so weird. And the way you make plays and think about the game tempo and placement is so strange. But if you are a formed and friend believer, you can absolutely get the good results.
Hell yeah. Well, Nick, if you don't mind telling the folks out there where they could potentially watch some more GSC content that you may or may not be putting out, now's a good time to tell them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Gabe. So if you didn't know already, I work for Art of War. We're a content creation coaching company for helping people learn the game of Warhammer 40K competitively and enjoy it more. So we have a YouTube channel. You can check it out, Art of War 40K. We do stream games and tactics videos and tier lists and all kinds of fun things like that. And on that YouTube channel is actually the streaming recap games of DreamHack, where I took this GSC army and we covered all eight games at the same time because it was a team tournament, which is really exciting. But you can definitely see some of my games, specifically my games into the Accursed Cultists in the AdMech, where I had dominating wins there. So you can definitely see me play the army in action live there. And then beyond that, we have our War Room, which is our subscription area for our members. And if you subscribe, you basically get access to an enormous library of content for every single faction in the game, strategy videos on the missions, tactics videos, coaching matches, recaps, all kinds of things that are really, really in tune for helping you learn the game and become your best. So if you are interested in getting better at Warhammer 40K or learning Gene Stealer Cult more, I'm personally doing a deep dive on the faction right now in that war room. The second episode's going to go live tomorrow. I got to record that shortly after this one. And it's going to be us exploring that faction and just Warhammer all over the place. You also get access to our amazing Discord server where you can talk to players like myself or Ines Wilson about Gene Stealer Cult player. We got a vibing Discord community in there. You can sign up online right now for free with your 3-day free trial, which is thewarroom.vhx.tv. Gabe over here is going to be a lovely gentleman. I'm speaking for him, but he's going to put that link in the description. So you can click it. And then that'll give you a 3-day free trial of our content. If it's not for you, it's not for you. We're not a gym. It's super easy to just cancel, but I'm sure you're going to love it. So do yourself a favor and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the links for everything, you know, we'll have it in the description of the podcast. And I'll kind of piggyback, you know, my experiences with the War Room have been great. You know, as a person who is gone, I am gone all the time for my job. Plus, I have 3 kids at home. Like, you know, my ability to play Warhammer is very limited. It's, you know, usually whatever TTS game I could scrounge throughout the week, you know, with the occasional RTTs or GTs I'm able to sneak off to. Like, just being able to consume high level Warhammer content like at will has been huge. So definitely, you know, give glowing recommendations.
Thanks so and, much for that, Liam.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys are wanting to you know, keep up to date with more Ascension Day podcasts, the Discord for that will be linked below. And you can use the link tree to go to there. If you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, you could do that through that as well. All of that goes to increasing my ability to make better sounding podcasts. So right now I'm looking at getting a cool little intro made and stuff like that. So all the support that you guys give really does help for that. So but all that will also be in the description below. Well, Nick, I think we really dug deep in. Do you have any final words, final punches to those listening, you know, regarding GSC or anything else?
It's a challenging but really rewarding journey. So, you know, enjoy the journey of it and just keep on getting better and subscribe to the Worm. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. All righty. Well, thanks guys for listening, and we'll be back soon. Have a good one.